Chapter 6. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse 23. Something in brief I have observed from the past, from the first part of this verse, namely from these words, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And indeed I have observed but some things, for they are very full of matter, and many things might be taken notice of in them, and many things might be taken notice of in them. There is one thing more that I might touch upon as couched in this saying, and that is this. Methinks the Lord Jesus Christ doth hereby signify that men are naturally unwilling to see or to take notice of their sad state. I say by nature, but though now they are willingly ignorant, yet in hell they shall lift up their eyes. That is, in hell they shall see and understand their miserable condition. And therefore to these words, in hell he lift up his eyes, he adds, being in torments. As if he had said, though once they shut their eyes, though once they were willingly ignorant, 2 Peter 3 verse 5, yet when they depart into hell, they shall be so miserably handled and tormented that they shall be forced to open their eyes. While men live in this world and are in a natural state, they will have a good conceit of themselves and of their condition. They will conclude that they are Christians, that Abraham is their father, Matthew 3, verse 7 and 8, and that their state is as good as the best. They will conclude they have faith, the Spirit, good hope, and interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when they drop into hell and lift up their eyes there, and behold, first their souls to be in extreme torment, their dwelling to be the bottomless pit, their company thousands of damned souls, also the innumerable company of devils, and the hot scalding vengeance of God, not only to drop, but to fall very violently upon them, then they will be awakened, who all their lifetime were in a sleep. I say, when this comes to pass, for lo, it will come, then in hell they shall lift up their eyes. In the midst of torment they shall lift up their eyes. Again, you may observe in these words, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, that ungodly men will smart for their sins in the torments of hell. Now here I am put to stand, when I consider the torments of hell into which the damned do fall. O unspeakable torments! O endless torments! Now that thy soul might be made to flee from those intolerable torments into which the damned do go, I shall show you briefly what are the torments of hell. First, by the names of hell. Secondly, by the sad state thou wilt be in if thou comest there. First, the names. It is called a never-dying worm, Mark 9. It is called an oven fire, hot, Malachi 4 verse 1. It is called a furnace, a fiery furnace, Matthew 13. It is called the bottomless pit, the unquenchable fire, fire and brimstone, hell fire, a stream of fire, the lake of fire, devouring fire, everlasting fire, eternal fire, Revelation 20, Matthew 3, Mark 9. First, one part of thy torments will be this. Thou shalt have a full sight of all thy ill-spent life from first to last. Though here thou canst sin today and forget it by tomorrow, yet there thou shalt be made to remember how thou didst sin against God at such a time, and in such a place, for such a thing, and with such a one, which will be a hell unto thee. Psalm 50, verse 21. God will set them, thy sins, in order before thine eyes. Second, thou shalt have the guilt of them all lie heavy on thy soul. Not only the guilt of one or two, but the guilt of them all together. And there they shall lie on thy soul as if thy belly were full of pitch and set on a light fire. Here men can sometimes think on their sins with delight, but there with unspeakable torment, for that I understand to be the fire that Christ speaketh of, which shall never be quenched. Mark 9, 43-47. While men live here, oh, how doth the guilt of one sin sometimes crush the soul? It makes a man in such a plight that he is weary of his life, so that he can neither rest at home nor abroad, neither up nor in bed. Nay, I do not know, but they have been so tormented with the guilt of one sinful thought that they have been even at their wits' ends and have hanged themselves. But now when thou comest into hell and hast not only one or two or 100 sins with the guilt of them all on thy soul and body, but all the sins that ever thou didst commit since thou camest into the world, all together clapped on thy conscience at one time, as one would clap a red-hot iron to thy breast, and there to continue to all eternity, this is miserable. Third, again then thou shalt have brought into thy remembrance the slighting of the gospel of Christ. Here thou shalt consider how willing Christ was to come into the world to save sinners, and for what a trifle thou didst reject him. This is plainly held forth in Isaiah 28, where, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of salvation, verse 16, he saith of them that reject the gospel, that when the overflowing scourge doth pass through the earth, which I understand to be at the end of the world, then, saith he, it shall take you, morning by morning, by day and by night, shall it pass over you, that is, continually without any intermission, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. A vexation, that is, a torment, or a great part of hell, only to understand the report, to understand the good tidings that came into the world by Christ's death for poor sinners. And you will find this verily to be the mind of the Spirit if you compare it with Isaiah 53, verse 1, where he speaks of men's turning their backs upon the tenders of God's grace in the gospel. He saith, "Who hath believed our report, or the gospel declared by us?" Now this will be a mighty torment to the ungodly, when they shall understand the goodness of God was so great that he even sent his Son out of his bosom to die for sinners, and yet that they should be so foolish as to put him off from one time to another, that they should be so foolish as to lose heaven and Christ and eternal life in glory for a society of a company of drunkards, that they should lose their souls for a little sport, for this world, for a strumpet, for that which is lighter than vanity and nothing. I say this will be a very great torment unto thee. Fourth, another part of thy torment will be this. Thou shalt see thy friends, thy acquaintance, thy neighbors, nay, it may be thy father, thy mother, thy wife, thy husband, thy children, thy brother, thy sister, with others, in the kingdom of heaven, and thyself thrust out. Luke 13:28. There shall be weeping, etc., when you shall see Abraham, your father, and Isaac and Jacob, together with your brethren, the prophets, in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourselves thrust out. Nay, saith he, they shall come from the east and from the west, that is, those that thou didst never see in all thy life before. And they shall sit down with thy friends and with thy neighbors, thy wife and children, in the kingdom of heaven. And thou for thy sins and disobedience shall be shut out, nay, thrust out. O wonderful torment! Fifth, again thou shalt have none but a company of damned souls, with an innumerable company of devils to keep company with thee. While thou art in this world, the very thoughts of the devils appearing to thee makes thy flesh to tremble, and thine hair ready to stand upright on thy head. But oh, what wilt thou do, when not only the supposition of the devils appearing, but the real society of all the devils of hell will be with thee, howling and yelling, screeching and roaring in such a hideous manner, that thou wilt be even at thy wit's end, and be ready to run stark mad again for anguish and torment. Sixth, again, that thou mightest be tormented to purpose, the mighty God of heaven will lay as great wrath and vengeance upon thee as ever he can, by the might of his glorious power. As I said before, thou shalt have his wrath, not by drops, but by whole showers shall it come, thunder, thunder upon thy body and soul, so fast and so thick that thou shalt be tormented out of measure. And so saith the Scripture, speaking of the wicked, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when the saints shall be admiring his goodness and glory. 2 Thessalonians 1:9-10. Again, this thou shalt have, as I said before, without any intermission. Thou shalt not have any ease, so long as while a man may turn himself round, thou shalt have it always, every hour, day and night. For their worm never dies, but always gnaws, and their fire is never quenched, as it is written in Mark 9. Again, in this condition thou must be forever, and that is as sad as all the rest. For if a man were to have all his sins laid to his charge and communion with the devils, and as much wrath as the great God of heaven can inflict upon him, I say, if it were but for a time, even 10,000 years, and so end, there would be ground of comfort and hopes of deliverance. But here is thy misery. This is thy state forever. Here thou must be forever. When thou lookest about thee and seest what an innumerable company of howling devils thou art amongst, thou shalt think this again: this is my portion forever. When thou hast been in hell so many 1,000 years, as there are stars in the firmament, or drops in the sea, or sands on the seashore, yet thou hast to lie there forever. Oh, this one word, ever, how will it torment thy soul? Friends, I have only given a very short touch of the torments of hell. Oh, I am set and am not able to utter what my mind conceives of the torments of hell. Yet let me say to thee, accept of God's mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ, lest thou feel that with thy conscience, which I cannot express with my tongue, and say, I am sorely tormented in this flame. and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. When the damned are in this pitiful state, surrounded with fears and terrors, with torment and vengeance, one thing they shall have, which is this, they shall see the happy and blessed state of God's children. He seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, which, as I said before, is the happy state of the saints when this life is ended. This now shall be so far from being an ease unto them, that it shall most wonderfully aggravate or heighten their torment, as I said before. There shall be weeping, or cause of lamentation, when they shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and themselves thrust out. He seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Observe, those that die in their sins are far from going to heaven. And indeed it is just with God to deal with them that die in their sins, according to what they have done, and to make them who are far from righteousness now to stand far from heaven to all eternity. Hearken to this, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness, and that are resolved to go on in your sins. When you die, you will be far from heaven. You will see Lazarus, but it will be afar off. Again, he seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. These are some of the things the damned do behold as soon as they come into torment. Mark, he seeth Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus, who was he? Why, even he that was so slighted, so disregarded, so undervalued by this ungodly one while he was in the world. He seeth Lazarus in his bosom. From whence observe that those who live and die the enemies of the saints of God, let them be ever so great and stout, let them bear ever so much sway while they are in the world, let them brag and boast ever so much while they are here, they shall, in spite of their teeth, see the saints, yea, the poor saints, even the Lazaruses, or the ragged ones that belong to Jesus, to be in a better condition than themselves. Oh, who do you think was in the best condition? Who do you think saw himself in the best condition? He that was in hell, or he that was in heaven? He that was in darkness, or he that was in light? He that was in everlasting joy, or he that was in everlasting torments? The one with God, Christ, saints, angels, the other in tormenting flames, under the curse of God's eternal hatred, with the devil and his angels, together with an innumerable company of howling, roaring, cursing, ever-burning reprobates. Certainly this observation will be easily proved to be true here in this world, by him that looks upon it with an understanding heart, and will clear itself to be true in the world to come, by such as shall either go to heaven or to hell. Another observation from these words, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, is this. They that are the persecutors of the saints of the Lord now in this world shall see the Lord's persecuted ones to be they that are so highly esteemed by the Lord, as to be in Abraham's bosom in everlasting glory, though the enemies to the children of God did so lightly esteem them, that they scorned to let them gather up the dog's meat that fell under their table. This is also verified and held forth plainly by this parable, and therefore be not grieved, you, O you that are tempted, persecuted, afflicted, sighing, praying saints of the Lord, Though your adversaries look upon you now with a disdainful, surly, rugged, proud, and haughty countenance, yet the time shall come when they shall spy you in Abraham's bosom. I might enlarge upon these things, but shall leave them to the Spirit of the Lord, which can better by 10,000 degrees enlarge them on thy heart and conscience than I can upon a piece of paper. Therefore, leaving these to the blessing of the Lord, I shall come to the next verse, and shall be brief in speaking to that also, and so pass to the rest.